Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got a great Freedom Friday lined up for you here. In fact, this is really cool. Larry Mayer, the great photographer from the Billings Gazette, he's always up early. He showed up early. He's going to be with us in about a half an hour in studio, but he just gave us his Yellowstone photo puzzle. He's taken so many great photographs over all the years. And so, but he's actually made up a puzzle out of one of his incredible photographs. It's this yellow plane flying right over one of the thermal pools in Yellowstone National Park. And so, how cool is that? But we're going to be talking about the latest news regarding the China spy balloon that the UK Daily Mail reported on earlier this week. But first, though, we've got a great guest here in studio with us. I know many of you know our friend Becky Hillier. She's been a TV anchor for several years. She's worked in the rodeo business and just a great storyteller all around. Becky, great to see you.
Hey, good morning, Aaron, and good morning, everyone. Great to be here.
I feel like the sun should already be shining right now because, you know, we've got bright-eyed, bushy-tailed Becky Hillier.
Right?
And, you know, we've been kicking around this idea of, you know, hey, we always try to integrate some good news stories into the show, but so often there's all the negativity, all the craziness, and it's like, but man, there are some good stories to tell out there where we can talk about, you know, the bright side with Becky Hillier. So,
I like that. That has a ring to it.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. What about this Yellowstone photo puzzle? Isn't that cool?
You know what? I am a huge fan of Larry Mayer's and his talent. He is such an amazing photographer. Has worked for the Billings Gazette for years, decades, really. I love that. I didn't know he had a puzzle, but I'm going to get one now.
I'm going to bring this back to the house. Yeah, because, I mean, it's just... You see, like, the red almost looks like lava on the edge of this thermal pool, and then the sea green, you know, colors of the thermal pool on the edge, and then the dark blue as it gets deeper with this yellow plane right in the center of it all.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
Striking. Good job, Larry.
Yeah. So you are now writing for Yellowstone Valley Woman magazine, which is a great publication. But they're doing a man's edition.
They are.
The woman's magazine is doing a whole edition on men, huh?
Yeah. Yellowstone Valley Woman, I guess.
A woman magazine.
Yeah, exactly. You could put the emphasis on the man part. But yes, Julie Kerber is the editor of Yellowstone Valley Woman magazine. She's fantastic. And that is such a wonderful publication here locally. And it's free. You can pick it up at local area businesses for free. But the content and the stories inside highlight the people all throughout our community. And typically it's women who are doing really wonderful things and have been very successful and have shared that success with others in the community. But in March, the men's edition will feature men in the community who are really making a difference for others. And I had the pleasure and privilege of sitting down with Tuff Harris. I know you know who Tuff is.
Yeah.
He is just really a fantastic young guy. And he was born and raised in Lodgegrass on the reservation. He has an amazing story that we unpack in the man's edition of Yellowstone Valley Woman magazine, and I'd love to tell you more about it.
You know, and as we've been talking a lot about illegal immigration and the drug cartels and how they've been targeting our reservation communities in particular, Tuff Harris has been building up some tough leaders that are doing some incredible things in those very communities. All right, stand by.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With breaks of sun, it's developing cloudiness around the area for today. High temperature readings will range from around 40 in Bozeman to the mid-40s in the Billings area. For tonight, with cloudy skies, low temperatures from the upper 20s to the lower 30s. And then for Saturday, we'll see high temperatures from around 40 in Bozeman to 50 in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
It's January 31st, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. It's National Backward Day, so that means go out and do things a little bit backward today. So wear your sweater inside out, or perhaps you should have dessert for breakfast and breakfast for dessert. You could even try walking backwards as part of your daily workout. Also on this date, in 1865, the U.S. Congress passed the 13th Amendment, abolishing slavery by an overwhelming margin of 121 to 24. Scotch tape was first marketed by the 3M company in 1928. And in 1949, the first daytime soap opera, These Are My Children, aired in Chicago. If it's your birthday today, you share it with the first African-American to break Major League Baseball's color line, Jackie Robinson, born in 1919. Scandal actress Kerry Washington, born in 1977. And singer Justin Timberlake, born in 1981. I'm Tushar Saxena, and that's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
So there's more to this story about another rape suspect on an ICE hold in the jail in Bozeman, Montana. I started asking the question, how many people are in the jail in Bozeman on an immigration hold? There's a dozen of them. I got the full list. Go to MontanaTalks.com. Plus, speaking of Bozeman, this is a must-see memorial in honor of fallen U.S. Marines is coming to Montana State University. Photos and more, MontanaTalks.com.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, I'll tell you what, if David Noble is listening right now, I'll bet he'd get a kick out of this. The Woman's Magazine is doing a man's edition. This is like the woke update of the week here. No, this is cool, though. So, Becky Hillier, yeah, you wrote a big piece. So you're doing a big profile on our friend Tuff Harris. Tuff Harris, like you say, grew up in Lodgegrass. He's got one parent who's Native American, another parent who was white. And so we had him on for a Christmas special of Montana Talks. I had him on the show for the full hour talking about everything he's doing and his mm-hmm. background. And he talked a little bit about, you know, growing up where it's like he got discriminated against by one community for being too white. And then he got discriminated against by another community for being too Native. And so he just turned to the Bible for keeping himself grounded and keeping himself centered. And he's such an incredible man of faith and a great family, wife and kids. But he played football for the University of Montana Grizzlies and then played in the NFL. But I tell you what, you know, you go see him at places and he doesn't come out, I'm a former NFL player.
No.
I mean, there is no air about this guy. Mm-hmm. He's just a true servant. So what stood out to you as you were, you know, trying to share Tuff Harris's story?
Well, I start the story off by saying no dreams are bigger or bolder than those of a kid from a small town. And I think that is so true. And I can relate to Tuff with that. And I think you can, too, because we're both from small towns, small Montana towns.
City's a big town. That's not a small town. That's
For Montana. You know, it's a booming metropolis. But being from small Montana towns and, you know, just being kids and thinking, gosh, there's got to be more to life than this. And it's just a natural compulsion for kids when they grow up to get out of their hometown and their home state even and go out and experience the world at large.
And then you come home because you realize actually there's no better life than this.
That was cool
to go see and do these other things, but man, there's nothing better than being back
and
in
it's
Montana.
It's great to experience life beyond our borders and then bring back all of that experience that we get and put it to good use in our communities, which is what Tuff did. And he said, you know, as a kid growing up on the reservation, he said it's the dream of every kid on the reservation to win a state basketball championship, right? I mean, that's what they want to do. And he said, so I played basketball, but I knew I wasn't going to grow very tall. I wasn't going to be tall. So he pivoted, and he really set his sights on football. He loved sports, and he was very athletic in every sport. But he thought, you know, I think I can make a run at this, and I really think I can play in the NFL one day. And he was 9 years old, and he was sharing this idea with his friends. And they laughed at him, and his family was supportive. But he really sought validation from someone outside the family. And so he talked to a trusted teacher, and that teacher said, you know what, I believe in you. The chances are low, but if, you know, you work hard, you go to school, you get good grades, you can do it. And so Tuff, he said at 9 years old, those words from that teacher were so powerful to him, and he started to believe in himself. And so he started a very regimented routine of brushing his teeth, eating his vegetables, and going to school
every
day.
Just simple things.
Simple things, but have a huge impact in the grand scheme. And so he said, you know, that really set him apart from the other kids in school, because he was so focused on doing the right thing and so focused on this goal at such a young age that it really didn't win him any popularity contests. You know, he was really on the outside looking in with a lot of these kids. It made him very different, but he just stayed focused. And along the way, he had adults and people who breathed hope into him and really blessed these dreams that he had. And so,
and that's interesting too, because like yesterday I was talking with this retired Army Lieutenant Colonel helicopter pilot, and one of the questions about this DC air crash is, well, why were they doing a training flight? Well, look, if you want to be the best of the best, you're always training. You know, the best fighters in the world.
That's the mindset you
have. They don't stop training because they're the best fighters or right. The best football players. I'm sure touchdown Tommy Malott, like, didn't say, well, I'm such a good quarterback, I don't need to go to practice this week. No, they constantly train. And so, yeah.
It's that championship mindset that you have to have in every area and facet of your life. It never quits. It never ends. And so, you know, he went to high school in Colstrip, and he played football there and definitely got the attention of college coaches, but no football scholarships were offered to him. The University of Montana offered him a track scholarship, and so he went there and he said, okay, I'll take this scholarship, but understand I am walking on for the football team as well. And so he walked on for the football team, and he stood out and academic honors and athletic honors in track and football. And then he was drafted into the NFL, and it was not anticlimactic, but, you know, I said, what was the aha moment for you when you knew that you were going to make it? He said, well, there really wasn't, because I really, truly believed when I was 9 years old, I was going to do it. And I did. And so, I mean,
this was a plan.
Yes, exactly.
It was a plan that he expected to see fulfilled. It wasn't a lottery ticket that he's like, oh, wow.
He worked for it and he earned it. And so he plays in the NFL for five great years, but you know, he knew that his body wouldn't hold up forever. I mean, that's a punishing sport, obviously. And so when he would visit home, it would really tug at his heart. And he would think, you know, how can I help? Right now, there's so many problems to be addressed on the reservations and in my communities. And he thought, I have a platform and I have a voice now. And he wanted to use it for good. So he said one night, he and Mary, his wife, watched this documentary. It was just days before he was retiring. And they watched this documentary on the plight of children on the Pine Ridge Reservation in South Dakota. And he said it was such a profound impact on him. You know, the hopelessness that they had. Some of these kids who were younger than 12 had attempted suicide. There was just so much pain. And he said it hit me so hard. And he went to bed praying that night, what can I do? And he woke up in the morning with this clear vision and a new purpose and a new goal, and told his wife, Mary, we're moving home to Montana.
And now he's got One Heart Warriors.
Yes.
And he's mentoring and training and advising and rising up a generation.
Yes.
Of leaders and warriors that are investing back in their very communities here all.
Yep.
Across Montana. All right, hold that thought. Quick break. We'll jump back into it after the Farm and Ranch Report.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Right now I'm sitting on an IKEA chair, tapping on the keyboard of a Dell laptop. My internet service comes from T-Mobile. My clothes were delivered by Amazon, and the moment I'll drive to my office in a car made Hyundai and burning gas that was refined by Exxon. I say this not to collect product endorsement fees from all those companies, hey, that's a great idea, but to point out a simple fact. Corporations, yes, out-of-state corporations, have made our lifestyles possible. Ever since the demise of Anaconda Copper Company decades ago, Montana has been a state that professes a distaste for corporations, or big business, or whatever you want to call them. And since we're not home to many large companies, that disdain is directed out-of-state. But the fact that so many of the goods and services we consume every day are made by corporations we disparage is not the triumph of evil that some make it out to be. It's a story of success, of larger companies taking advantage of size and scale to turn out cheaper, better, more standardized products that we can afford. I'm Patrick Buckley.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Fox on Football. I'm Jared Max. Before heading south to New Orleans for Super Bowl 59 on Fox, Philadelphia Eagles head coach Nick Sirianni got his game plan against the Chiefs in place.
A big chunk of it is ready to go, so I won't share everything with you guys, but we'll practice, we'll be on the field, we'll be installing things. You got to get a good portion of it done because the schedule's a little different next week.
Eagles coach Nick Sirianni.
There's some different things that you got to handle next week, and You know, you might not have the all-day Tuesday meeting or an all-day Monday meeting because of media night that you would normally have as coaches.
Like Eagles coach Nick Sirianni, Chiefs coach Andy Reid knows the routine.
As coaches, we got to dig in and get going, make sure that we can feed the players a good game plan. I know it's a two-week period before the game, but once you get down to New Orleans, it's a bit chaotic, so you want to make sure you take care of business now.
Chaotic plus Mardi Gras Tuesday. Jared Max, Fox News.
Get hurt in the game? We tough it out. Feel exhausted? We push on. Feeling down? We pull ourselves up by the bootstraps. But there are times when bootstraps aren't enough. When stress gets to us and we need to talk to someone about what we're really going through. So we're going to reach out. Because sometimes mental health is not a one-person job. Visit loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ed Council.
Watch out!
He got me!
The galaxy is safe once again.
In the pretend universe, kids play with pretend guns. In the real world, it's up to us to make sure they don't get their hands on a real gun. If you have a gun in the house, keep it locked, unloaded, and stored separately from ammunition. Safe gun storage saves lives. Learn how to make your home safer at nfamilyfire.org. That's nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by N Family Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
Animal activists are relentless in their attacks on agriculture, especially during an election season. Brian Humphreys, CEO of the National Pork Producers, says the 2024 election saw ballot issues wanting to eliminate animal agriculture.
A couple of interesting ones. There was a ballot measure in Sonoma County, California, and Denver, Colorado. The one in Sonoma County was going to ban confined animal feeding operations, and 85% of the folks there voted against that, and so voted with American farmers. In the state of Colorado and Denver, there was an effort there to ban harvest facilities, and 65% of Denver voters voted with American agriculture to stop that ban. A couple of bright spots over the election where the voters stuck with American agriculture.
He says animal activists come after all forms of animal agriculture.
In Sonoma County, California, it was all livestock. It was any medium CAFOs and larger were going to be banned if this had passed. In Denver, it was to stop any slaughter facilities inside of Denver, and there is only one. It is a lamb processing facility, Superior Meats. The interesting part here, the heartwarming part, is that all of agriculture came together and helped fight these initiatives. The folks on the ground run the campaigns, and the other organizations helped contribute money and resources as appropriate to help fend these off. And so agriculture came together in a strong way.
That was Brian Humphreys with the National Pork Producers Council. I'm Lane Nordlund.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
We're looking at the bright side here today with Becky Hillier in the house. Plus, we're going to get some cool rodeo updates here in a second as well. But Becky, yeah, a lot of people may remember you. You've been on multiple different TV stations here in Montana. Grew up in Miles City. You were a Miss Montana back in the day, if I remember right.
Oh, so far back, I can't even remember, to be honest.
Yeah. Looking at the bright side, there, like we say, there's so many bad things. And we got to focus on the bad things, because how are you going to turn the bad things around if you don't talk about them? But, you know, the Mexican drug cartels, they've been targeting our reservation communities in particular. Drugs, violence, crime, and then, of course, the drugs lead to sexual abuse and so much more of children. I mean, it's just so many ramifications. But, you know, I was with a group of friends the other day, and we were talking about, you know, all these challenges, and they were just – And somebody had made the point how, the Crow Nation has just been getting hammered in particular. And it just kind of had this hopeless feel to the conversation. And I said, guys, look, I didn't say this, but, you know, I'll say it now. Let's look at the bright side here, mm-hmm. is that places like Lodgegrass, you've got, some leaders that have risen up to take the fight to the cartels, to clean up their communities. And then now you've got some new business leaders that are moving in, a new barbershop, a new Christian-owned coffee shop. And so, but, you know, when I mentioned, like, the mayor of Lodgegrass, Quincy Dabney, for example, that is one of the people that's been a part of Tough Harris's One Heart Warriors yes. program. And there are countless stories like Mayor Quincy's now, you know, on reservations across Montana and across our region where, you know, these leaders are rising up and investing back in their communities through this program.
Right. Well, and you think about the courage that it takes for Quincy to stand up to the cartels that are operating on the reservation. He's been very courageous in that, and he has been a real ray of hope on the reservation to his people. They know that they can look up to him, and they know that he is solid in his word and conviction to help the people on the reservation. And yeah, he went through Tufts program as well, One Heart Warriors. When I was writing the story for Yellowstone Valley Woman magazine, I spoke to Mark Little Ghost, who was a graduate of One Heart Warriors in 2022. And he said that he had gone through, you know, addiction, and he was really at that time craving structure and direction with his life. And so he met Tuff and Mary Harris at Faith Chapel and enrolled in the 9-month program where he lived on site in their residential facility, which is on Rimrock Road. And it was so nice because they all came together, everybody who is enrolled in that program, and they lived together for 9 months. They form these healthy habits together. They form their own little community of support. So everybody is supporting one another and wants to see them succeed. And Mark said that's what really drew him to the program, was that community aspect and being a part of something bigger than himself. Well, now Mark is married, and he has hopes of starting his own construction business. He and Tuff are still close. Tuff has been a role model, a mentor, a friend. And he said he just admires him and loves him for what he has done, not only for Mark, but for other people who've gone through the program.
Did Tuff talk about this at all? Because as I understand it, as he started to see big success in the NFL and things like that, just like other people, not just from reservation communities, but from small towns sometimes, people may not like the fact that you're successful, mm-hmm. that there's this anti-success attitude. Oh, now you think you're too good for us. Now you think you're too. And it really holds back a lot of communities. You see this in the inner city, where if somebody wants to get out of the inner city, they get criticized and attacked by their friends and neighbors because they go off and be successful. And there's this anti-success mentality that I believe is really an anti-American mentality.
Well, and it is hard. I mean, I think that's true everywhere. I mean, I've experienced that in my life from people too. You know, there are certain people who just don't want to see you succeed because it makes them feel bad about themselves, whatever it is. But when Tuff and I were talking about that, I asked him a question along those lines, and he said, you know, really, with the success that I've achieved with being in the NFL, I can go back and I kind of have the key to the city to some degree, because I do have standing with these people, and they look at me and wow, he's been in the NFL. So he didn't really share that he had been ostracized for that. It was more when he was growing up that he was ostracized and isolated. But now coming back, because he's coming back to do good, I feel like it's been very accepted. That's the impression
I
got from him.
With sports like military warriors, there's mm-hmm. this warrior spirit, this warrior mentality
yes.
of welcoming a warrior home too. And so, which I think is great. I think all of us need to embrace that warrior spirit.
Absolutely.
And need to focus on welcoming our warriors home in particular. You're doing a lot of work with the rodeo now. You're working with the Nile and Dave Allen. You know, he worked with Dale Earnhardt
yes.
Sr. He was the top marketing guy for Wrangler back
yes.
in the day. He
mm-hmm.
was the CEO of the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation. He told me, we're going to do some big things with the Nile. Those plans are now starting to take shape here.
Right.
Becky Hillier is working with the Nile, so we'll talk a little bit about that. Plus, another look at the bright side and the story of Montana silversmiths. Just a few minutes left here. We'll get back to it right after the Fox News update and see. I'm looking at the clock. We got about a couple minutes or so to go here with Becky Hillier. It's great having you here, Becky, by the way. Judy Wagner and Montana Silversmiths, I know you've been kind of sharing, you know, the bright side of that story. And, of course, with your work in the rodeo scene, talk a little bit about that. And then also tell us what the Nile has in store for the Montana rodeo scene later this year.
Oh, of course. Well, Judy Wagner, for those who know Judy and Montana Silversmiths, her name is synonymous with their business. And she worked for them for about 24, 25 years. Well, Judy is the person who was able to secure the contract with the Professional Rodeo Cowboys Association to have Montana Silversmiths be the official buckle maker for the NFR and for the go-rounds, for the gold buckle winners. And they really have cemented their place in the Western industry as the go-to company for high-quality buckles. And I've always had a sense of pride because they're from Montana, and they're just down the road in Columbus. And Judy has just always been such a brilliant business mind, but she's brilliant in a way that she forms these business relationships that really become personal relationships and friendships. And she has created such an amazing rapport with so many people, industry and nationwide. And a documentary was made about her life, and it's called Nice Job, Cowgirl. I tried to find out last night if it is readily available for anybody to watch. I don't think it's in distribution yet. But it's just a story of how she approached her business angle and the businesses that she started. She and her husband started a gator rope company. And just the relationships that she's formed over the years and how transformative those have been for both men and women in the industry and just in business in general. And she is such a bright light and bright spirit. She's very positive. She's very inspirational, very uplifting. She really wants to see everybody do well. And so anytime that you have a leader like that, I think it's just nice to know who they are and to know that, you know, they've got everybody's back. She just wants to see everybody succeed. And she's just really a wonderful woman. It was nice to see her at the NFR have the silver screening for her documentary, Nice Job, Cowgirl. So very, very cool. Proud of her.
I just asked Elon Musk's AI platform, Grok, how can we watch the documentary, Nice Job, Cowgirl? Apparently it's available on Netflix, Tubi, Amazon Prime, and maybe on YouTube TV.
Maybe it is now. Yeah.
So, yeah, maybe you can find it on one of those platforms. So
that would be great.
That would be great, yeah.
If I find anything else out contrary, or I'll let you know, and you can pass that along. But it is a good watch. It's 30 minutes, and it features Judy. Her family is interviewed, and a lot of the Cowboys athletes that she's touched, you know, their lives in the past, they're interviewed too. So it's just it's an uplifting story.
I like, too, just the title of it, because the title really could or should be, Wow, Incredible Job, Cowgirl. But, hey, we know our farmer rancher friends.
Yes. And she...
Nice job. You know,
nice job, cowgirl.
That's all you need to say.
Yeah, she said that's the highest compliment one can receive. It's nice job, cowboy, or nice job, cowgirl. And I agree.
Well, Larry Mayer with the Billings Gazette's popping in next to talk about this new China spy balloon story. But, Becky, stand by because I want you to give a plug for what the Nile's got in store for us as well.
Are you...
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Well, I told you guys earlier this week, I said there was this report in the UK Daily Mail. Shocking inside account of Chinese spy balloon fiasco and what the government did not tell you. And there's some interesting tidbits in here. We're going to talk about that more with Larry Mayer, longtime photographer for the Billings Gazette. His photo showing that Chinese spy balloon that was hovering over our heads went viral and really broke that story wide open. And what I think is most interesting about this story, the China spy balloon, is that, you know, sometimes it seems like there's folks in the media like the New York Times and others that, you know, they'll get information and then report that information that could undermine American national security. Larry Mayer and the others who, you know, especially Larry, who dug into this story and reported on this, they helped American national security because of some of the things the government was not doing and didn't want to tell us. And because of exposing this, I think it's going to lead to, you know, improving our national security posture. But either way, we'll get to that in a second. Becky Hillier, she's going to stick around and help me interview Larry here in a second.
Watch
as well.
Out, Larry.
We got a pro in the house. But, yeah, the Nile. I know, you know, David Allen talked about some big things coming up later this year.
Yeah, well, so we have a brand new rodeo coming up in August 14th, 15th, and 16th. put a reminder in your phones. It's during Montana Fair. And the really exciting thing about Rodeo Billings, Aaron, is that it's going to be held in a brand new outdoor rodeo arena that's being built on the Metro grounds. And we're really excited about that because outdoor rodeos are always fun. But outdoor rodeos, there's just something about that in the summertime in Montana that can't be beat. So we are crafting a great entertainment experience, rodeo experience for folks in the community to come out and enjoy. And that outdoor rodeo arena that the county commissioners approved, I think will really be a game changer for the community as a whole because it will have so many different uses eventually. And I think will be a real meeting point and gathering point for the community.
And David Allen knows how to put on a show because of his connections with Dale Earnhardt back in the NASCAR days and marketing head for Wrangler Jeans and so much more. All right. Well, let's jump into it here with Larry Mayer, longtime photographer for the Billings Gazette. First, to our friends in Libby, Montana, the Disney family. I mentioned Larry has this Yellowstone photo puzzle. They want to know how they can get their hands on one. And Larry told me, contact the Western Heritage Center. Contact the Western Heritage Center in Billings, and that may be the quickest, easiest way to get a copy of this Yellowstone photo puzzle. But Larry, this report that came out, you were the first one to share this with me from the UK Daily Mail earlier this week. What'd you think when you saw that? Good to see you.
Well, it was interesting just to go through it, and it actually confirmed some of our earlier reporting. I thought I would really quickly go through how this all came about, you know, and because people might not remember, you know, back to when that all of that happened. So on February 1st, tomorrow's the second anniversary. On February 1st, 2023, all air traffic was shut down at the Billings Airport. I've been a pilot for 45 years. My phone started ringing off the hook. What's going on? We just got diverted to Bozeman.
I remember getting messages, too, and then Michael Foth is out on his back patio in Laurel having a beverage, and, whoa, what's going on?
Yeah, right. And so I ran up to the airport just to see, you know, why the airport was shut down. I didn't know if there'd been an accident or if there was something wrong at the control tower or whatever. Nobody seemed to know. Right. All flights had been diverted, you know, airline flights had been diverted back to Salt Lake City. So I while I was at the airport taking just a picture of all these people waiting for a flight that was never going to arrive, I noticed there were contrails in the sky that were going in circles, super high altitude jet contrails that were going in circles. So I took a picture of that. And then I got back to the office. I posted a story saying that the airport was shut down, no flights were arriving, and most flights had been diverted either to Salt Lake or to Bozeman. Then I started getting phone calls from other friends that said, hey, if you go on FlightAware, there's two air tankers running in a racetrack pattern, and you know, being in the military, that's a tactical thing when they're nursing fighters. Running in a racetrack pattern over the Beartooth Mountains. And I posted the story about the airport closure. And shortly after that, at 4 p.m., Chase Doak, a friend of mine who works just down the street here, was walking out to his car, and he said, hey, there's this thing in the sky, right? A tiny little speck in the sky that, like a star, except it was still daytime, so it was 4 p.m. So I literally jumped out of my car grabbed my longest telephoto lens and shot some pictures of it. We still didn't know what that meant, you know, what that was all about. So, so all of that information was posted along with the picture of the balloon. The next morning, I started making phone calls to the FAA, who, you know, gave me a little bit of a heads up. They said, well, it's not our deal. This airspace closure is not our deal. It's a military operation. And then I contacted the governor's office and lots of other people. Finally, somebody gave me the number of a guy at NORAD. And I sent him the photos of the balloon, and I said, hey, what's up? You know, what is this? Why is the airspace closed? And he said, well, we're going to get back to you. We're going to issue a statement, which they never actually did. They had a hastily called press conference at the Pentagon and announced the Chinese spy balloon. ABC News was the first one to break what it was.
Yeah, they didn't want to give the guy who first asked about it and inquired about it the scoop to break that. They had to give it back in D.C. That'll happen, right? So this UK Daily Mail report comes out earlier this week. They interview General Van Herk, who was the head of NORAD 2 years ago at the time. And he basically comes out and says, and let me take a step back for a moment. The reason why this is all, you know, even more interesting here of late would be because we had all these drones over New Jersey.
Yeah.
And everybody's wondering, what's going on here? And you know, of course, now the first week of the Trump administration, they come right out and say, yeah, here's what it was. It's like, was it really that hard to put out a statement and basically tell people what the deal is? Yeah. But back to this UK Daily Mail report, it looks like General Van Herk is basically saying that here he is. He's the commander of NORAD, and he doesn't find out about this thing until it's already more than breached U.S. airspace. But apparently some of our other government agencies already knew about this thing headed our direction, and they didn't bother to tell the head of NORAD?
Yeah. And so you know, what happened in the days after that was I started getting phone calls from you know, I've been a pilot for a long time, so I just know lots and lots of people out there in the aviation business. I started getting phone calls from people and say, hey, all that activity over the Beartooz, the plan was to shoot it down over the Beartooz, right? It was a perfect plan, actually. There's nobody in the Beartooz in the wintertime. And that's why, you know, why else would they have tankers? Why else would they have fighters? Why else would they close the airspace? Because they were worried about a debris field, right? And so I gathered up as much of that information as I could. And I on February 16th, that was the first press conference with President Biden. And he came out and said, it was one of those deals where he was walking from the helicopter and reporters were shouting questions at him. And he said, I told him to shoot it down on that Wednesday, right? Which was the first.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And so we published my story that I worked with Chris Jorgensen at the Gazette about the attempt to shoot it down over the Beartooz. Now, do you have a sec? Can I read this? I haven't shared this with anybody.
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, hold that then for after the break here.
Okay.
Because Becky Hillier, the reason why, you know, everything that Larry's telling us now is still interesting here 2 years later is because what this UK Daily Mail report shows is that everything he was reporting at the time was accurate, and yet they were trying to tell him, oh, no, that's not true, or they were downplaying it or ignoring it. And, well, it's because it was a major embarrassment to the Biden administration that they were allowing this thing to hover all the way across our country. And so that's why his, you know, gumshoe reporting, whatever you want to call it, was so important.
Well, and it was fascinating for me at the time because I was actually living in Colorado when this was happening. And so I went to work and people said, hey, what do you know about, I think the Chinese are looking for you. They don't know you're in Colorado. And I was in Fort Worth for the stock show at the time. But I would, you know, look on my phone and try to keep up on the story. And I thought, what in the world? I left Billings and all these crazy, kooky things are happening. So I'm just impressed that you, you know, really did the work of like a old-fashioned traditional reporter. And you're just pounding the pavement, making phone calls and trying to figure out what happened. It's really quite fascinating.
And I remember from our past conversations with Larry, what if they never published that photograph? What if they never said, you know, Larry, you're going to sound like a conspiracy theory kook if we share this photograph. But they made the right call, and thanks to his work and insistence, and it blew the whole story wide open. All right, stand by.
Hey there, Ryan Reynolds here. It's a new year, and you know what that means. No, not the diet. Resolutions. A way for us all to try and do a little bit better than we did last year. And my resolution, unlike Big Wireless, is to not be a raging and raise the price of wireless on you every chance I get. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first three-month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited. See mintmobile.com for details.
Fox News commentary.
Target will scale back its DEI initiatives and woke customers are not happy. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
It's the Will King Show.
Ideological goals like climate change, green initiatives, because attention and resources are a finite game, they are diverted. It is pulled away from the priorities that matter to citizens directly. When you pay your taxes, there are certain things that you have a right to expect. Police protection, emergency response. Anything given to misplaced priorities ends up something that can hurt citizens when they need their government.
Streaming live 12 p.m. Eastern weekdays on FoxNews.com and the Fox News YouTube channel.
Next to Bud Light, Target may be one of the most outwardly woke companies of the last 10 years. From giant pride displays to junk-tucking underwear and more, Target has led the charge on all things woke. But that could all be changing, at least when it comes to the company's DEI initiatives. Following in the footsteps of countless other businesses, Target vowed to end its DEI program this year. Not only that, Target will also discontinue its Racial Equity Action and Change initiative that sought to invest millions in black-owned businesses exclusively. So while it might come as a major shock to the system for some on the woke side, all Target is really doing here is getting back to common sense and merit-based practices. Target has already taken heat for this return to normalcy, with some vowing to boycott the retailer. Odd that some don't want to patron an establishment that simply returns to the core value of product over activism. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With breaks of sun and developing cloudiness around the area for today. High temperature readings will range from around 40 in Bozeman to the mid-40s in the Billings area. For tonight, with cloudy skies, low temperatures from the upper 20s to the lower 30s. And then for Saturday, we'll see high temperatures from around 40 in Bozeman to 50 in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to Real Deal on...
Go check it out now. Just click over to crystalflesh.com.
Brought to you from the Montana Hot Spring Spas and Saunas Live Well, Feel Better Studio. This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, Becky Hillier just asked a really good question before the music fired, so make sure we ask that one before we run out of time here. It's a quick few minutes left in the show, but Larry Merritt, you've never reported this, you've never shared this publicly before, but because of your China spy balloon reporting, you actually got threatened by the Biden DOD, and you've got the memo in front of us here.
So I've got this. Email from the Pentagon. So I'll just go into a little bit of the backstory. I started getting information right away that they had attempted to shoot the thing down over the Beartooz, and that's why there were tankers. That's why there were fighters, and so eventually, what. Was the trigger for us to publish that story was the president having a press conference at about the balloon thing, and also when the reporters were shouting questions at him, at one point he said, "Well, I told him to shoot it down on Wednesday," you know, and so we published a story, and something that, you know, obviously we don't like to do, but I had some confidential sources that didn't want to go on the record, you know, because they're still in the military, that told me about that story, and so we posted that story, and actually less than an hour later, I got a phone call first. This woman was very upset. I mean, I was in my car. I was
trying to intimidate you,
just telling me that, you know, the story was wrong and that I needed to change it. And, I was actually driving down 27th Street and it was in my car. So it was really hard to hear her. So I finally said, you know, you're going to have to send me an email, What I wanted to say, I was I was a good boy, but what I wanted to say was, wait a minute, are we married?
Yeah.
That's hilarious. That's hilarious. All right, so read the email before we run out of time.
Okay, here we go. It says, if you do not substantially change the story today, specifically rewriting the opening paragraphs and the headline, the Department of Defense will issue a statement saying that your paper's reporting on this issue is inaccurate. Given the role that your paper and your city have played in this national event, I prefer that you correct your reporting to help people in Montana and elsewhere know the facts that can help them understand recent events.
And now keep that in mind. So he gets this basically attempted intimidation by them to stop reporting the facts. And now even this new report featuring General Van Herk from the UK Daily Mail shows that everything you were reporting was completely dead on. It'll be really interesting to see if more information comes to light now that the Trump administration and Secretary Hegseth are in place. Becky, you had a great question for Larry Mayer here just as we were about to come out of the break.
Right. Well, Larry, your photo of the spy balloon has been circulated worldwide, is kind of the photo that everybody thinks of. Do you know its circulation, how many times it's been shared, or how far-reaching it has been printed?
I really don't. I got some people sent me clips from, you know, newspapers around the world. Once it went to the Associated Press, then it just goes everywhere.
Everywhere, you know?
And,
yeah.
And so that was actually a big part of this whole thing was, you know, not just getting a picture of it, but getting it out there, mm-hmm. right? Putting it on the internet. And getting it on our website so that it got bigger circulation, getting it to the Associated Press. And, you know, because there were other people that photographed this one and some previous ones. Mm-hmm. You know, Chase Doka actually Chase Doka photographed this one. But he got an email from a guy in Hawaii who photographed one several years ago.
Wow.
He couldn't get anybody to confirm what it was.
Yeah. Second anniversary of the China spy balloon over Montana. Wow, I can't believe although in a way, man, it's been a long 2 years.
It's not
that long ago, but it does seem like it was a long time ago. Well, Larry Mayer, incredible photography and reporting as always. Becky Hillier, great to see you.
Yeah, awesome to be here.
Get a look at the bright side of things as
always.
Well. So appreciate seeing both of you. We've got open phone lines for most of the next 2 hours. So phone lines are open for you.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Right now I'm sitting on an IKEA chair, tapping on the keyboard of a Dell laptop. My internet service comes from T-Mobile. My clothes were delivered by Amazon. In a moment, I'll drive to my office in a car made Hyundai and burning gas that was refined by Exxon. I say this not to collect product endorsement fees from all those companies. Hey, that's a great idea. But to point out a simple fact. Corporations, yes, out-of-state corporations, have made our lifestyles possible. Ever since the demise of Anaconda Copper Company decades ago, Montana has been a state that professes a distaste for corporations, or big business, or whatever you want to call them. And since we're not home to many large companies, that disdain is directed out-of-state. But the fact that so many of the goods and services we consume every day are made by corporations we disparage is not the triumph of evil that some make it out to be. It's a story of success, of larger companies taking advantage of size and scale to turn out cheaper, better, more standardized products that we can afford. I'm Patrick Bunkie.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.